Welcome to Hers,
His, and Ours,
part of the Scheist Podcast Network. Hey, oh yeah. I think I missed that part already. It's okay. We're here. We are, we're going to be talking a bunch of things.
Variety,
yeah. This is a little, like, secondary part of the show, which we haven't done yet. It's called This Week on the Couch. If you listened to us back when we were doing the Scheist podcast, doing This Week at the Movies, this was always something we kind of wanted to do as a little like bonus part of this show, especially because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are not watching Brothers and Sisters right now, and that's fair. And I don't know that them listening to us is going to be the catalyst to make them watch it. And that's also fair. But I still want to help introduce people to like who we are and what the show is and what we talk about. So weekly, we're going to do This Week on the Couch here on this show, and then we're going to do This Week at the Movies over on the Scheist podcast, and we'll have them in tandem, and we'll use them to sort of promote one another, ideally. Yep. If I can remember, I got too many shows to promote right now.
I don't know how you're keeping track, to be honest.
I'm not.
Okay, cool.
I'm so behind. There's too many social medias to keep track of, but yeah, between this, the Scheist podcast, Ex-Friends, Bad Movies We Love, Kunked, that's five right there. I'm producing two other ones.
I mean, I wish I was better at social media so I could just do that part for you, but I'm horrible at social media.
And we can't afford to hire a social media manager, at least not yet. So
no.
Maybe one day.
So if anyone's out there and bored and wants to help voluntarily.
Does anybody really love the show Brothers and Sisters and wants to get involved with this and is trustworthy?
For all your shows, though, not just Brothers and Sisters. Oh, God.
That person needs to be paid, and I cannot pay you.
Okay, yet. Fair, fair.
Look, seriously, if I was doing it for somebody else, I'd be like, you have to fucking pay me for this and
true.
Pay me well because it sucks.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm just not a social media person. I can barely handle posting a story if I'm resharing something, so I can't do it for you. Otherwise, I would, babe.
Yeah, I know. I got to get better at learning the tools. I have not advanced to TikTok yet. I have TikTok, but
I have it too, but only because people send me things to watch, not because I know how to use it.
Yeah, I've never made anything on TikTok. I've never shared anything on TikTok. I just sort of am like a empty vessel being filled up with videos on TikTok.
Same. I just found recently that I have an inbox with messages and I have no idea where they came from.
Yeah. Good question. I know.
This is social media in your 40s.
Yeah. I also realized that TikTok sends me emails to let me know to look at TikTok. And I'm like, look, this is this is not okay. This is not what I signed up for. I don't want to have to unsubscribe from additional emails. You know how many Yahoo emails I'm still unsubscribing from? It's ridiculous. Because they're all from different senders.
Yeah, so. Same. I don't get emails from TikTok, but maybe I turned that off a long time ago.
So anyway, if you want to get notifications about this show, you have to turn notifications on. You have to follow the show.
And subscribe.
Yeah, like and subscribe, and that's the way you're going.
Or
I think,
follow.
Yeah, follow, I think, is the right way to do it. It would really help if you rated the show, especially if you like it. If you don't like it and you want to rate it, then look, I get that. It's fine. That's what living in a world of rating things is all about. I would prefer if you like the show and rate it, because that's much more helpful than bad ratings, but yeah.
Here we are.
Get the housekeeping out of the way. So, yeah, so This Week on the Couch is basically like the mirror of This Week at the Movies, where rather than talk about all the movies we saw, we're going to talk about the TV shows that we're currently watching. I think in fairness, though, besides Brothers and Sisters, we're going to talk about the contemporary shows that we're watching.
Like current shows.
And I think we should probably start with Shrinking, because that's not super current, but we did just finish that before we started sort of officially on this adventure. And I don't know why we started it. I think it was your pick.
It was.
It was on our watch list for a while, and we finally just pushed play, and it's really good. It's really sweet.
Oh, man. I was pleasantly surprised. And I think there were enough people who know me well enough who kept saying, like, you really have to watch this show. And at first, when it's like, you know, advertised as kind of like a therapist, mental health kind of show, at the time, I wasn't ready for it.
But that's probably the reason why it got recommended, because you and I both work in
mental health.
Yeah.
I just wasn't ready for it, though, at the time with other things going on. And then they're like, no, really, you should watch it. It's not that kind of show. And I was
like, it's true. It's not.
Okay, that makes sense. So I think it was it in January we watched it?
Probably.
And we binged it real quick.
Really fast.
Because it was really good. And now I'm sad because now we have to wait like everyone else for season three. But the writing, the acting, the chemistry, like there's not a single negative thing to say about this show. I loved it. It was very easy to get hooked very quickly, which is my favorite kind of TV show, especially when it's bingeable. But then I'm left sad because I want more and we have to wait.
Did you want to add in the little like behind the scenes tidbit about shrinking?
Which part?
The part where we went to the bar
that's featured on the show. Yeah. It's funny because it had been a couple months since we went, and that was season two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The season two where, but now I'm blanking on the character names and I'm just thinking of the actors.
Sean.
Is it Sean?
Well, Sean opens the food truck. Yeah, I don't really know if I know that many of the character names off the top of my head.
Well, not anymore because we've been removed.
It's been too long. Yeah. Look at this. My brain is drawing a blank. It's been replaced by other TV show character names.
But it's Josh Hutchins, who we are talking about on Brothers and Sisters, that plays the ex-love interest of one of the characters on the show, who opened a bar and put up her pictures on the bar. And we celebrated a friend's birthday a couple weekends ago who hasn't watched the show. And picked a random brewery because he's into breweries and had never been there either. And we walk in and I'm like, why do I feel like I've been here before? And you behind me were like, oh, it's the bar from Shrinking. And I was like, oh, my God, that's it. So it was really fun and nostalgic in a way, in a weird way, that it was like, hey, we watched this a few months ago and now we're in this bar. And I assumed that they were somewhere in LA, but I'd never expect of all the breweries our friend could have picked to celebrate his birthday, that happened to be the one he picked.
Yeah, kind of random, but I know. I was like, I'm getting a weird deja vu feeling being
like
here.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, we've been here. I feel like it's so familiar. It reminds me of something, but yeah, it had been removed from watching the show for a couple of months, so I didn't connect it right away.
I think the thing that ended up selling me on the idea of the show more than anything was the fact that Ted McGinley is in it, because I haven't really seen him do much since Married with Children, but I loved Jefferson on Married with Children. And it's like, I like Harrison Ford, but I didn't realize that it was going to really lean into his humor and his like comedic timing as much as it does. Jessica Williams plays Gabby. You mentioned Jason Segel plays Jimmy. Harrison Ford plays Paul. Sean is a patient who ends up like overly involved in the characters' lives. We've got Michael Urie playing their friend Brian, Alice, played by Lakeitha Maxwell, and Krista Miller is the neighbor Liz, and she's married to Ted McGinley's character Derek, and they're the next door neighbors. So it's a fun dynamic. Somebody mentioned it as like Ted Lasso adjacent. I'm like, yeah, I can see that. It's sort of manages the same level of like emotional feels while also being funny. So it can pull at your heartstrings, but also make you laugh while it's doing it.
Yeah. And those are always my favorite kind of shows, when it can take you through all the emotions and it's a roller coaster. And I mean, the writing is phenomenal. And I think the comedic timing is so natural with this cast. I mean, they're all fantastic as comedians in general. And I like that they pull on very real life scenarios, which we've kind of touched on a little bit here and there when we've talked about Brothers and Sisters, is that, you know, it's not just a cookie cutter TV show. And even though Jason Segel's character is a therapist, he still has his struggles. Same with Harrison Ford. And he's struggling with Parkinson's, which is also a different battle in itself while still wanting to work and keep himself. And yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Harrison Ford in this big of a comedic role. And I was pleasantly surprised to get a comedy Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty funny at times in Indiana Jones and Star Wars, but it's always more like he's affable and charming and has like a wry sense of humor, which he still does in this, but I think the writing really highlights his skills. And because you mentioned the writing, like, and we mentioned Ted Lasso, the show is created by Brett Goldstein, Bill Lawrence, and Jason Segel, and Brett Goldstein,
Ted Lasso,
is one of the main characters on Ted Lasso.
And he is great as a comedian.
He plays Roy Kent, yeah.
And I was so excited to see he started to like inject himself as a character on the show and got to see him in a dramatic role too, which was fun because we're Brett Goldstein fans for sure.
Yeah, we should go see him when he does stand-up next time he's out
here.
We
should. I agree.
I almost got tickets last time. But
me too. But the timing was weird or something at the LA show. I can't remember what was going on.
Yeah.
But I was like, you probably saw this too.
And then it's been a rough like couple of years in terms of trying to like just plan things. So, you know.
Can I sidebar a question really quickly?
Yeah.
Speaking of Ted Lasso, I've been curious. How do you feel about it coming back officially?
I mean, if it is operating on the same standards that it did, then I don't have a problem with it because it's a great show. It's one of our favorite shows. As long as it's coming back for the right reasons and like the same people are involved, then I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, good. I'm super excited for
it. I feel like the wrap up at the end of the last season was a little fast, but now I don't know where you go. So
I did see a rumor, and I don't know if this is legit or not, because it's hard to tell on some of the like TV buzz type of
the whole internet in general. What's legit? What's real?
I mean, same with the news. But anyways, what dimension are we even living in right now? And I read some rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but I did read that they started filming that it should be about the same kind of storyline or template of the show, but he owns or he's coaching a women's team instead.
Interesting. Because I think, didn't he move home at the end of the last season?
He did. But from like supposed pictures of filming, it looks like he's back in.
So what did he do? Bring the whole soccer team and the coaching staff with him to the U.S.?
It looks like he's
such
back.
A large part of the character. So he's coaching a women's team in Richmond?
I think.
All right. I mean, whatever. It's fine.
I don't know. Like I said, the picture was blurry and I'm like, is this even from this season? Is this even real news? I don't know. But they did say they're officially filming and they had confirmed that it was officially coming back. So we'll see. I mean, I hope they bring back a bulk of the original people because that is really what was the heart of the show. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm still in for it. I mean, yeah. I love it, but
we'll see. We will see. All right. Well, since we were talking about shrinking, we finished that. We also started and then finished Paradise.
Oh, man. What a journey that
was. Was it episode 7, Paradise, where I was like, this is one of the best episodes of TV that I've seen in quite some time.
Punched to the gut.
Yeah, pretty devastating stuff. I mean, you had asked me, like, are we going to start it? And so in my head, there's this series of movies that's like White House Down or like Olympus Has Fallen. It's like Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx. And I'm like, so it's sort of in my head just felt like it was going to be one of those. And then I didn't know what the movie was. I thought Sterling was playing the president and I didn't know much else. And then it's like, okay, well, I learned that he's playing a Secret Service agent. I was like, Marsden's in it. I'm in it for Jimmy.
And it's Sterling, a Fogelman show.
Yeah. And I love Sterling. This Is Us is great. We'll probably cover that at some point on the show for one of our hours.
For sure.
Watches. So there's a lot of reasons to be interested in the project. And then Julianne Nicholson is just like, she's so wonderfully hateable.
I want to murder her.
She's horrible, but she's so good. So that's important. And really, like, you get an interesting story, which if you haven't seen it, I don't want to like ruin too much of what it is. But basically, like, the premise of the first episode kind of like lulls you into a false sense of security. And then you kind of find out, oh, things are maybe not as they seem. And then you begin to start peeling the layers of those onions, and you get some backstory and some history, and you learn like why things are the way that they are. But it starts with like a murder investigation and goes from there. Like a murder investigation in this sort of like idyllic small town.
It's so intense. I mean, I didn't question or doubt that I would enjoy it, because I mean, Sterling by himself sold me, but Sterling and Dan Fogelman especially, I was like, okay, sign me up. They're gonna take us on a roller coaster. I didn't realize the degree of the roller coaster or how realistic and even relatable to what we're living right now it was going to be, in a very weird and twisted way.
Fogelman,
damn it, Fogelman, you're so good.
Yeah. It's a good one. And it was only 8 episodes. So it's like extra sweet spot for me is that it wasn't 26. It wasn't 13. It wasn't a bunch. It was just a nice little 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're done. We'll see you next season. Love it. It's my favorite.
Rude.
All right. Well, that's the two that we completed. Are watching Severance, kind of. I think we're a couple episodes deep, and then we paused because there was shit going on. And I was like, eh, it's a little too...
heady?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Psychological?
I mean, it's very much about, like, work-life balance.
Uh-huh.
And, like...
too close to home?
Maybe, yeah. So...
it's probably why I was resistant.
I understand that. Okay. So, I'm still interested to see where it goes. I've heard a lot of really positive things about how this season ended, and I think it's pretty short too. It might only be 8 or 10 episodes.
Me too. That person who I won't reveal the name of, that I see or accompany during physical therapy.
You don't accompany them, you just do physical therapy together.
Okay, well,
not together, but at the same not place. Together,
yeah, same time, same place.
Someone you eavesdrop on.
Sure.
Or start, have you started talking to them?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Because of Severance. He brought up Severance.
So they're a chum.
And he said he's taking a movie break because he watched too many before the Oscars. And he switched to TV shows. And Severance is one of the best on TV right now. This season in particular. So I do want to finish. I needed more space before we kept going on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a slow burn kind of show, just like the first season, where yeah. It's like, I didn't know if I liked the first season through the first few episodes, and then by the end of it, I was like, oh yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I feel like when we got to like episode four or five, it was like, okay, now like, let's not stop, keep going. But it was hard to kind of get there, and then it was like full steam ahead.
Yeah, so we'll finish that, but we also just started White Lotus.
We did.
Yeah, we watched the first episode.
I've also been trying to stay away from spoilers because they're talking a lot about a recent episode, and I'm like, la 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 yeah. la, I don't want to hear it.
I think this, yeah, I think it ended too.
I don't think so.
No?
I think it's close to ending.
Okay. Well,
it was a very like big episode though, and I'm like, okay, don't pay attention. We'll catch up on it next week.
I know. I didn't know Walton Goggins was in the show until all of a sudden I started seeing like screenshots of him. And I was like, oh, well, this gives me more reason to watch it. Let's start.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I love about White Lotus and every season so far is the cast is insane.
It's always good.
They know what they're doing when they go to casting.
It's always beautiful locations too.
Gorgeous locations. I love how they share where they're filming it so that it's kind of promoting the resorts. If we ever travel internationally to these places, I would love to go to these resorts. They're breathtakingly gorgeous. But we'll see.
What are we on? Season 3 or 4 of White Lotus?
We're on 3.
This is 3?
Isn't it?
Yeah, there's three. It is 3. I just see 4 is listed, so it must have been picked up for another one. That's fine. Yeah, there's what? No, there's 8. Yeah. Okay, so.
Don't read too much.
I'm not. I was just doing a little cursory scouting because I wanted to see the particular cast list for this show because the guy I'm looking for, Jason Isaacs, he's such a freaking bastard. But he plays the dad of the family who like won't put his phone away in the first episode.
Oh.
Yeah, such an asshole.
He's always an asshole.
He is, I know. He's got the juice when it comes to being an asshole. But, you know, we also are introduced to Leslie Bibb, Carrie Coon, Michelle Moynihan are in it as well. We see John Grease showing up briefly as a little like Easter egg from the past season. So we'll see how much he gets folded into it, but I don't want to jump too far ahead in that. We got to finish something else before we're allowed to watch any more shows. I like that you've adopted my position of one show at a time, though.
Because, babe, it's so intense, and I need you to catch up so that you can commiserate with me.
So what are we watching, then? We're on episode 5 of what?
The Pit.
That's right, The Pit.
Noah Wiley.
And this is only 12 episodes?
I think it's going to be 15. Oh. 12 have aired.
Gotcha, okay.
It's a Thursday show, so it is a weekly show.
So it's not finished. So it's when we get caught up, we'll be caught up.
Yes, that's why I said I need you to catch up because this last week's episode was so intense. I cannot continue until you've caught up with me.
So you've already watched all of the ones to get to recent up until now, and now we're back on, we finished 5.
Yeah, I think we're going to be on 6. And yeah, the crazy thing is even rewatching it now, and this show hasn't been on that long, I'm still forgetting some little details because every episode as it goes on gets so much more intense. You forget about some of the other little details that I think it's good to kind of binge it in a sense because you're seeing certain storylines will thread through the series. Not all of them will, but like the important like Easter eggs will be relevant ongoing through the season. So I think it's helpful that I'm rewatching it right now because I'm like, oh man, there was so many kind of clues leading up to what was the most intense episode last week that I didn't connect beforehand that I'm now connecting now.
Interesting. I'll be interested to see what that is because you watched this without me to begin with. Like you were just watching it while I was working and stuff. And
yeah, because you don't usually like the medical dramas. So I feel like...
I mean, I watched House. I watched ER.
I know. I should have just asked if you wanted to start it, but I just was like, at the time, you were not ready to watch TV shows.
I wasn't.
Buried in movies. So.
That's true. What's funny, though, is when we did the Warner Brothers tour most recently, we drove by the set for The Pit.
Did we?
Yeah.
They film it here?
Yeah, they were like, yeah, the new show, The Pit, is filming there. And I was like, oh, okay. They even mentioned Noah Wiley because ER had filmed on that lot as well.
I forgot about that.
But we didn't go inside and see the set or anything. But then watching the show, just my like lizard brain is sort of like trying to deconstruct how they're filming it. And they must have just built the entire set, like just a big sort of fake hospital floor. All in like practical matters because the way that the show is filmed sort of just weaves in and out of that environment. And it's like, it's too complicated to try to edit that otherwise where you're going to fuck things up. But also I'm starting to look where like a character that we met in one episode is now like in the hallway in the background. Right. So it's like, you're just basically probably treating it like it's a real ER for the most part. So that way it's like, oh, this is your character. You're here. This is where you left off. You're in the hallway. So that way when the characters walk down the hallway, you see the patients that they've been working on.
Yeah, because for anyone who's not watching it, I highly recommend you do. But the show, what I was so intrigued by and what hooked me so quickly is that, and I don't think a medical show has done this before that I'm aware of, at least, that the show, the entire season is taking place in one day. So every episode is representing 1 hour of these doctor's shifts in an emergency room. Which is intense because, I mean, especially really too close to home recently, being in an emergency room for 4 days.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, someone had said like they do a really good job of portraying like what doctors go through. And I'm like, what about the patients? Right. Because I was the patient. But it is a very stressful, strenuous job. And you have to kind of be a little crazy to want to do this because it gives me anxiety every episode watching them go through what they go through.
Yeah.
And it's intense. So the level of, yeah, obviously they have to have real ER doctors or something on staff to be consulting because the realism around every episode is unmatched, I think. Even, and you know I love Grey's Anatomy, but like even compared to Grey's Anatomy, which is very realistic, but it's a more controlled environment because it's not just emergency room based. It's like surgery and specialty and oncology or neurology. Like it's a little bit different. It's still a trauma hospital like this one is on the Pit. It's not just emergency room focused. And so this is very unique.
Yeah, and I like the sort of combination of ER plus 24 equals the Pit, where it's like, this is just an hour. And it really makes it super digestible. So especially if you're like binging it, it makes it probably easier to watch like we are now. Noah Wiley's great. Really,
oh my God,
the cast is all really good. I'm starting to like learn more of these characters that I'm unfamiliar with. I know in a future episode, a grade school classmate and high school classmate of mine makes an appearance and gets punched in the face.
You mean a grade school classmate of ours?
That's what I said.
Oh.
I said a grade school classmate of ours and a high school classmate of mine.
Yeah.
Makes an appearance on the show. And we'll see what other familiar faces are on there because a couple people have popped up and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I feel like this is a show that people would probably be fighting to try and get a cameo on. And it's like, Noah Wiley is an actual emergency room doctor on this. Like, maybe he's the supervisor on the show, you know, because of all his years on ER. But it's just, it's intense. And I find myself at some point holding my breath and not letting go until the episode ends. And then I'm just like, it's almost like a cliffhanger on every episode.
Well, Marguerite Moreau, we're talking about the cast, like she just showed up in an episode as like somebody's aunt, you know, and so like she's a well-known actress. So there's probably going to be some very familiar faces popping into some particular storylines. So I'm looking forward to the rest of it. One of the things I mentioned to you last night was on this show, on the other show on This Week at the Movies, we talked about sort of just putting two attractive people together in a movie doesn't necessarily give them chemistry. And there was a scene, maybe in the first episode, between Noah Wiley and one of the other doctors who play the actress who plays Dr. Collins. Tracy Fayakor. I don't know if I probably butchered that, but
Tracy.
There's a quick scene between the two of them, maybe like two sentences, and they move on, and I'm like, they used to fuck. And turns out that it's true, and it's like there's a certain type of chemistry that you just can't force. Like, so not only is it like them as the actors knowing the tone, but whoever directed the episode and whoever like wrote it on the page knew the tone that had to be communicated in order to make it work. Because just putting pretty people together, it's like, sure, they're like good looking, but like they don't seem to actually be attracted to each other or to have any history. So that's a problem when you're trying to sell that to the audience. And that like has become an unfortunate mainstay of a lot of modern cinema, is like a complete lack of chemistry between two hot people.
Yeah, and they did this in the first episode within the first 10 minutes even, which is kind of crazy, I feel like. But I feel like also it's like the cast as a whole, even the characters that I can't stand that like make my blood boil because they're written to be shitty, they do a really good job at being shitty, but them as a cast as a whole, their chemistry is also so phenomenal from episode one. And it's a very fast paced, kind of like quickly written. I don't know if there's a technical term for that. But it kind of reminds me of Gilmore Girls in a way, of how quickly they write or they speak and like kind of finish each other's sentences or play off of each other. And they do this really, really well on this show too, not in a quirky way like Gilmore Girls, but they, the cast just molds so easily, so quickly.
Yeah, I think part of it being that they are a lot of student doctors and it's a learning hospital sort of makes it, it like disarms all of them because you really only have a couple people in positions of authority. So it makes it very easy to be with them in a situation where things are overwhelming. And as a result, like as the audience, like that's the idea, is that like you're feeling the pressure of this situation. And so when you have a character like Noah Wiley's Dr. Ravi, like he's pretty cool and calm despite what's going on like internally. And there's some other doctors that are pretty confident and relaxed and like not stressing. But for any like regular person to be in that environment, you'd be like shitting your pants. And so I think that's the idea, is to like bring that intensity through a bunch of inexperienced doctors. And so you have different personalities between all of them sort of representing like the cocky one, the sort of unsure one, the confident but quiet one, the Nepo baby. So there's a lot of stuff going on in an individual episode that makes it entertaining. But yeah, the production design of the show is amazing.
Insane.
I'm like, you really have to be consistent with this. And like, I was just thinking, like, there's no way you could edit this show if you're going like, how do you, who's in charge of like consistency? What's it called?
Continuity.
Yeah. There's no way you could do that unless you film it like a certain style. So
I'm also kind of curious, like, because it's shot so realistically, and they must be doing single camera shots potentially, or maybe they're doing multi-camera shots, but they're doing it like one or two takes. Like they're not doing 20 takes of this so that the continuity is not as concerning. But I am curious because they're like up in their faces and in the patient's faces even, or like body parts that they're showing us that they're working on. And the practice, like I said to you before, I can't wait to see what you say about the practical effects, because we haven't gone to that episode yet. But the episode so far, the practical effects of the medical side of things are so realistic, it's scary.
Yeah, we saw that lady's gross foot. We saw them do the like the windpipe surgery to insert the breathing. What's it called? A pike? No, cripe.
Trike?
No, trike. So I don't know.
We don't have medical degrees.
We don't. We're going to have them by the time we're done watching this show, though, because the lingo is flying fast. And I'm like, I'm kind of learning a little bit. And we did spend a lot of time in the ER. And I like listen. It's not quite like that. But honestly, like it kind of was a little bit. You were only in the ambulance bay, but like I walked around a little bit when I was like, I need to stretch my legs. And it's like a little bit set up like that. It's a little more like H-shaped, mm-hmm. where this seems like it's sort of built on maybe like a circular set or like a large grid.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's intense.
It's intense.
We're going to watch a little bit more of it tonight, so we'll be caught up probably by the end of this week. And
that's good, because the new episode drops on Thursday night.
Whoop, whoop.
We have to catch up before we keep going, because last week's episode was, like, I felt like I needed a Xanax.
Wow.
And I don't take them regularly.
All right, if ever
anymore.
Okay.
But I was like, I need multiple Xanax and maybe even a drink.
Wow. Well,
that's all I'm going to say.
It's a hell of a recommendation.
Yeah. But it's so good.
The show's going to make you want to take a Xanax. But don't, because it might be laced with fentanyl, as we learned in this show.
Well, my Xanax
don't
is prescribed.
Don't take unprescribed Xanax.
Don't take, unprescribed.
Xanai. All right. Well, that's it.
I just want to talk about one show you're not watching with me that's also a medical drama.
Okay.
That I highly recommend.
Go for it.
And it's called Doc. I think I've talked to you about it. It's another medical drama, but shot very differently. But it's actually based on a true story. And it's about a doctor who's like on her way to become chief of everything. I can't remember the exact title, but
she gets like amnesia and forgets everything about who she is.
She gets into a car accident. And
which causes the amnesia.
She loses the last 8 years of her life.
But remembers all her medical training.
She remembers most of her medical training, because that happened before the 8 year mark.
And they still let her be a doctor after that?
No. Okay. She goes back to being an intern, and she has to work her way back and put in her hours and then resit for the boards. And then she passes the boards and gets her license back. But the sad or like the tragic thing is she was hated by everyone. She her personality had changed because her son died tragically suddenly. So when she wakes up from her like coma, they have to tell her all over again that that happened and that she's actually divorced. And her and her husband had split after that.
That's rough.
But the medical stories on that show are also fascinating. And it's also another one where I'm like, this is incredibly well written and well acted. Scott Wolf is horrible, but he's good at being horrible on the show. The cast is great. But I thought the story was very intriguing because it's based on a true story. And it's scary.
You heard it here. Medical dramas are back.
They are back. They're like it's crazy.
It's the 90s again.
I feel like, I mean, they never left. We've had Grey's Anatomy for 21 years.
Yeah, but it's just been that.
True. I feel like
there's The Good Doctor too, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't as good as this.
Freddie Highmore is like autistic, but he's a super surgeon or something.
Yeah, I didn't stick with that. I couldn't stick with The Resident either. What other metal? Anyways, I feel like the market for television and movies sort of, but like for television shows because of all the streaming services is oversaturated. But there's a lot of like really, really, really good TV right now.
There is.
You just have to spend a little time finding it.
Yeah. There's a lot of like great shows, but I think there's also probably more bad shows because just in general, there's more stuff.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like you have to work a little harder to find the really good stuff. So we're sharing some of that with you now. So go find these shows.
Yeah. They're probably the most talked about of the last, I don't know, 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because a friend of mine, Cosmo, actually was like, okay, everyone's saying like watch The Pit, watch Paradise, watch White Lotus, watch Severance, Adolescence on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, we got to watch that too. As
well. So it's like, how did like, she's like, but what about movies, people? And I was like, well, I'm not going to the movies right now, so plug me in.
Movies can pause for now. It's all about television.
Those movies will be back, but not on this show.
They'll be back.
Not on this show.
We've had a lot of movies. Oscars are over. Now it's time for television, and then we'll get back into movies.
All right. You heard the lady.
Television.
TV.
TV shows.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening to This Week on the Couch. Hopefully it was entertaining. And if you like listening to this, we do a lot of this as we continue talking about Brothers and Sisters, season one. We got 6 episodes deep. We're going to continue that probably once we get caught up with The Pit. And then if you're listening to this and you enjoy hearing us chat and gossip and stuff like that, we do it over at the Scheiss Podcast at This Week at the Movies. We're on a little hold right now, but we're going to record that, I think, tomorrow. And then that'll cover the last couple of weeks. We watched some stuff at home. Documentaries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Matthew Perry.
Gossipy style documentaries, though, not like educational ones.
Yeah. That's okay. Those are good, too. Fine.
Yeah, they are. All right. Well, take care. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Hers, His, and Ours. We'd love for you to continue on this journey with us. The easiest way to do that is to like and subscribe to the show on the podcast platform of your choice. Follow our socials at Hers, His, Ours, spelled like time, on Instagram and X. To keep tabs on this show and others in the Scheiss Podcast Network, follow @ScheissPodNet on Instagram, Blue Sky, and X.